This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. This is day two of talking to the top eight candidates running for San Antonio mayor. Of course, there are 27 candidates running for mayor. We cannot get them all on the air. We had a rubric. We looked at their polling, we looked at fundraising, we looked at their history of previous public office, and we came up with the ocho, the top eight. There's more information about that rubric on our website at tpr.org. You can also see the schedule for when those candidates are on The Source, and we have the archive of all of these interviews. We just heard from Rolando Pablo, former Texas Secretary of State, and now we have in the studio with us John Courage, who is the sitting District 9 council member. And Councilman Courage, good to have you.
Good afternoon, David. Good to be here.
Our phone lines are open, and you can ask him a question about running for mayor, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So the first one's easy, Councilman Courage. Why are you running for mayor?
Well, I think that I've been serving for 8 years, and I've understood a lot of the circumstances, conditions that people in San Antonio face in their daily lives. I've tried to address those situations, those conditions, those wants and needs that the people have expressed. District 9 is a great place to live, but we're in a very varied community, and there's a lot of interest and a lot of concerns in other parts of the city. And I've always felt that a councilman for one district is more than just a council person for that district. You're really a council member for the entire city, because every decision we make downtown at City Hall one way or another affects the lives of everybody. So I've always served as a councilman for District 9, but also a council member for the entire city. I've tried to make those choices, those decisions, taking the steps that are going to benefit everybody. And after 8 years, I feel like I still have more to offer the city of San Antonio. I've been asked by numerous people in my district and other parts of the city if I'd consider running. They encouraged me to run. And so I feel like I'm ready and able to continue to serve the people in San Antonio as their next mayor.
So you were one of the first, or the first, to declare that you were running for mayor. And then you dropped out because you said health issues and age. And so did you resolve those things? Are you younger now? How did that, what happened?
Well, I don't think it was age per se as much as I was concerned about some health conditions. And I thought that maybe they would make it difficult for me to honestly serve as a mayor for a four-year term. But I've cleared them up. You know, a lot of times it's a matter of talking to your healthcare professionals, taking their advice, and understanding what you need to do to stay in your best health. So, yeah, I've lost 20 pounds. I've changed my diet. I exercise regularly. As a matter of fact, I played basketball last night with a bunch of guys. I've adjusted some medications, and I feel great. My doctors, they've all told me, hey, there's nothing that should keep you from being able to do whatever you want. And serving this community is something that I really want to do. So, yeah, I was the first in, I was the first out, and then I ended up being the last back in. But I am in, and I'm campaigning hard, and people are listening, and I feel like I'm in the right position right now.
Oh, let's go to a caller, and we have Jenny. And Jenny, you're on the air with Councilman John Courage as he talks about his run for mayor.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, recently we heard that I showed up in a couple of San Diego schools and they were dishonest about whether they had parental consent to be there. And we know that ICE has acted to deport people that they shouldn't be deporting. And I'm just wondering what a mayor can do and what Mr. Courage is willing to do to prevent ICE from separating families, from deporting people that shouldn't be deported, and how we can stand against, as a city, these illegal deportations and family separations.
All right, Jenny, thank you for the call. So she's asking about ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, going to schools, illegal deportations. We're seeing that now with the Trump administration sending people illegally to El Salvador, to their gulag. What could you do as your mayor?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at this. First of all, the charter for the city of San Antonio does not use the word citizen. It used the word residence. And I think it's incumbent upon the city government and the next mayor to ensure that we protect the rights of all the residents in this city, and that includes providing certain services for their well-being. But the city does not have the power the federal government has the power when it comes to immigration and immigration enforcement. As a matter of fact, the state of Texas has made it very clear that if local law enforcement is called upon to work with federal agencies when it comes to immigration, we have to comply. We've been warned numerous times and faced lawsuits from the Attorney General's office about maybe not wanting to comply with federal laws regarding immigration. I think that we need to always consider people in San Antonio as residents who deserve the respect and fair treatment by our local government. At the same time, I think we can voice our concerns, especially if people who deserve and have a right to be here are being forcibly removed. And as the next mayor, I'd certainly be willing to speak up for that, especially if it concerned any resident of San Antonio.
Recently, you were quoted as saying that being homeless is easy. It was a complex conversation. Help me understand what you meant when you said that being homeless is easy.
Well, what I was trying to help people understand is it is easy for someone who's homeless to stay homeless as opposed to accepting help getting over a drug addiction or accepting help getting over alcoholism or accepting help when you have a mental health problem. So it's easier for them not to face those kinds of decisions or accept the help that may be out there to help them overcome those disabilities. It's not easy to live out in the street. However, you notice there are people walking up and down the street with shopping carts filled with all kinds of things they've accumulated off the side of the street, behind a building or whatever, and they're using those to sustain themselves out in the field away from where people may see them. And I'm not trying to say it's an easy life, but they can sustain themselves. And part of the discussion was, should we allow people to operate carts on sidewalks and streets more than 1,000 feet away from the business that they may have obtained those carts from? Or should we limit that? And by limiting it, make it more challenging for people to live on their own and hopefully encourage them to accept the services that we have available to help them lift themselves up and improve their lives.
Well, a rising number of people who find themselves unhoused, living on the streets, maybe all of their worldly possessions are in shopping carts, are being pushed out because of rising rents and lack of affordable housing. So not everyone is out there because they're dealing with disability issues, sure, addictions, or what have you. But, you know, they're I don't want to say victims, but they're having to deal with a lot of rising costs.
Well, I agree with you. A lot of people become homeless and they don't want to be homeless. But the city provides services to help those people if they want the help. The service is there. Now, we don't have enough resources in some cases. If you're addicted to drugs, we don't have enough treatment beds to help you get over that addiction. If you're an alcoholic and you're suffering from alcoholism, we don't have enough beds to treat those people. If you have a mental health condition that's beyond your individual capability to deal with, we don't have enough beds, enough resources to go ahead and deal with that. But that represents probably less than 25% of the homeless people who are out there. The other homeless people do have help. We're helping 1,500 people every day at Haven for Hope. We've got San Antonio Metropolitan Ministries that are helping people. We've got numerous other organizations, but if there are people who are homeless who don't want that help, that creates the barrier that we have as a city to deal with that. And, you know, we've kept tens of thousands of people from becoming homeless in the city of San Antonio through our Housing Services Department and through our Human Resources Department. We spent $75 million trying to fight homelessness in this city just in the last year. So, you know, the resources are there in limited numbers, but it's up to a lot of the individuals to be willing to accept that help. That's the struggle we face.
Let's go to another caller, Anne Marie. Anne, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. There is an insistent mandate from SAWS for San Antonio residents to conserve water. Multiple rebates encourage us to remove graphic landscaping and adhere to watering schedules. But with San Antonio's clear focus on growth and sprawl outside 1604 and those new neighborhoods' needs for water, plus new large car washes springing up everywhere, as our new leader, I'd like you to comment on how individuals like me can remain committed to conservation when these other big plans make our efforts seem small.
All right, Anne-Marie, so we're going to have to, I'm going to go to the break in just a second, but if we start your answer and we're going to pick it up after break. But so we're talking about the scarcity of water is going to become more scarce and we're heading towards a terrible summer. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we have no choice as individuals and collectively as a city to continue to work on conservation. You know, Mayor Nuremberg had suggested, and I think that may be a good idea, that we always retain a secondary level of using water going into stage two as a permanent level, which kind of limits the use of water on residential and commercial for the long term. And I'd be glad to elaborate more on that.
Yeah, but it seems like we've been in stage two for already several years. I mean, it's, you know, it's the water situation, the drought is ongoing. We can see that San Antonio is semi-arid and is becoming more arid than less semi every day. So we are going to continue. When we come back, I do want to talk about development and water and some of the other points that Anne-Marie had in her call. But our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment for a candidate for mayor, John Courage, District 9 council member, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And the source continues after this quick break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. This week we're talking to the top eight, the ocho of the candidates running for mayor. We have a rubric on deciding which these guys are. They are the top for fundraising, polling, and they have the most experience in holding public office. And so we are going to have a whole lot of information on that on our website at tpr.org. Right now we have John Courage in the studio to take your calls, District 9 council member, candidate for mayor. The number is 833-877-8255 and 833-TPR-TALK. And so when we were going to break, John Courage, we were talking about San Antonio's water problems. It is getting hot. We're in a drought, and we're looking at a scarcity.
You know, it is true. And San Antonio won't continue to exist without enough water for us to sustain ourselves as a community. I was the first councilman to ever go to a SAWS meeting and just sit in and watch those meetings month after month after month, my first 2 years on the council. Obviously, the mayor sits on SAWS board and the mayor's there. But other than that, no other council member has paid as much attention. And as I was paying attention, I wanted to come to an understanding of how is SAWS preserving water in the city? Because when they come to the city and ask for funding or rate hikes or they want to have members join the board, I've always wondered, how do we reach that decision as a council if we don't understand how SAWS has reached its decision? But in sitting at those meetings, I came to understand how SAWS has really diversified the water supply that we have here in San Antonio. And they've done a very commendable job. You know, I was not a big supporter of the Vista Ridge project because I thought maybe we were developing and buying more water than we'd ever use. Now that I've been on council 8 years, I thank God that SAWS and the community decided to buy that water and bring it to San Antonio because the water conditions we've been going through have been very, very challenging for the community. At the same time, we have seven or eight additional diversified methods of receiving water here in San Antonio. So it's not to say, as sometimes SAWS like to say, we're water full, but I think that we have enough water to go ahead and sustain the continued growth in our city. But we need to be cautious and we need to look for more conservation. And at the same time, as businesses or industries come to San Antonio, we need to understand their water demands and they need to understand how they cooperate with us as a city to meet their demands and retain water for all of our citizens.
Back to the phones with Peter. And Peter, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call. So I guess my question would be, you know, on top of all this development that you're talking about, you know, public safety, you know, the expansion of public safety with more development. I know just doing my own little research, fire and police and EMS calls have gone up significantly throughout the last couple of years. Just wanted to know what you might be able to do to bolster up our public safety in San Antonio.
All right, Peter, thank you for the call. And John Courage.
You know, that's always an important question. First and foremost, the responsibility of city government is to protect its citizens. And public safety, particularly the police department, is kind of that first line of public safety we always look at. But I also include, when I talk about public safety, our fire department and its resources, and even our Metropolitan Health Department, because your health is part of your public safety. But when we talk about specifically police protection, when I first got on council, I began as an advocate for adding additional police officers. We had about 2,100 on our force when I got on council. And I was a strong advocate for increasing the size of the police force. And over the first 5 years I was on council, we added about an additional 200 positions. So we're up to about 2,300. But even that was not enough. And so about 2023, the council decided to go ahead and expand the police force by an additional 15%. And we are in a process of bringing those additional police officers on board now. We had over 100 the first year, 65 the second year. We're adding more this year. It's taking a little bit longer than I would have liked, but we are constantly looking to expand not just the size of the force, but the resources it has to protect our community.
Another caller, and David. David, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Several months ago, I understood that the city had released CPS on the debt that they owed to the city. My question is, why didn't they do the CPS do the same thing to reduce that debt to the senior citizens, the people that are low income that they owe from that time when the virus started? That's the end of my question.
All right. Well, we're getting some blank stares here. We're not really sure about that. So CPS would never owe money to the city of San Antonio because it is owned by the city of San Antonio. As a matter of fact, CPS pays money. It's responsible for about a quarter of the general revenue fund that we use to run the city of San Antonio. So that hasn't happened. However, CPS has been active in debt forgiveness with people who ran up bills during COVID who could not actually pay. So I was wondering if you could get your reaction to that, John.
Yeah, Curry. I think it may be related to the fact that CPS brought in a lot of money over a couple of summers, and there was about a question of almost $40 million that the city was receiving that it might not have budgeted for. And the discussion was, how do we use that money? Do we return it back to CPS? Do we return it to the citizens? And part of the decision was that in order to keep CPS rates from going up, let's go ahead and give some of that money back to CPS to continue to keep our lower rates for energy. So I think that may be part of the discussion that's presented here. But you're right, CPS is an important partner, and they contribute over $400 million a year to our general revenue in San Antonio for services that we provide to the citizens. It's an important partner, but the city does also contribute to their program to help people who are struggling to pay their bill to reduce the cost of their energy. It's probably not helping as many people who need that help, but we're helping tens of thousands of people every year through that program.
And so Project Marvel, I'm getting a lot of questions in the email about Project Marvel. And where are you on how do we, you know, proceed? What should we do? How many public dollars should go into that?
You know, I just had a discussion about that earlier today with the people in our financial department. You know, Project Marvel was first presented to the city council maybe 14, 16 months ago. And the original presentation was that we needed to make improvements to our convention center because we're losing millions of dollars of convention business to some of the other cities that have rehabilitated their facilities. We need to go ahead and continue to make improvements to the Alamo Dome. You know, we've gotten the NCAA here for this year. We've got them coming back for a women's tournament, but they've already said in the future they didn't think our Alamo Dome was up to their expectations. But we want to continue to attract national, nationwide, international events to the convention center and to the Alamo Dome. We're also looking at making improvements at Hemisphere Park around the Tower of the Americas that hasn't been improved very much lately. So Project Marvel was looking at making these city-owned property improvements, and I still support that. However, along the lines, the footprint of that whole area includes all the way down to Chavez Street, includes part of the area that's now controlled by UTSA for the ITC. And there have been movements about 6 or 8 months ago by the Spurs to say, we want to move downtown. And that's the kind of place we'd like to move to. So that's become a second part of that discussion about Project Marvel. I've said this many times, I'm not committed to spending a single tax dollar to go ahead and build that new Spurs arena if that comes about. Now, there are resources available to us to go ahead and help support that somewhat. For example, the state has given us the authority to use growth and state sales taxes throughout the area that we're looking at for Project Marvel going forward for the next 30 years. That could be up to $280 million in additional revenue to the city. Now, that's gradual, a little bit this year, a little more next year as things grow. So it's not something that we can just throw into the mix, but it gives us the ability to maybe create additional funding that isn't your tax dollar or my tax dollar, but mostly tourist dollars. The same thing comes with the county. The county has a venue tax. They're looking at renewing that venue tax and committing a significant part of the county venue tax to help if there's going to be a new Spurs arena downtown. There are TERS dollars, the tax increment reinvestment zones in and around that area that we're looking at to determine is there growth in revenue in all of those areas that can contribute to what the new arena might cost. But first and foremost, I think the owners, the developers of that arena need to pay most of the cost to build that new arena. So it's really two projects, one that the city really owns and controls that we should be investing in, and then looking at how, if ever, we can be a partner somewhat in the development of a Spurs arena downtown.
So, I mean, we had the Final Four in San Antonio, and downtown was a mess.
Absolutely.
I mean, how did that happen?
I think it was very poor planning in the short run, which is why
we knew the Final Four was coming. I mean, how could you, you know, and yet half the streets were torn up.
Well, I tell you what we heard was, we don't have the best records of what's under the ground in downtown San Antonio. It's 100 years
or more. It's dirt.
No, there are water mains and pipes that have existed there for 70 or 80 years. And quite honestly, there were difficulties in finding those. It delayed the work. Some of the had to be replaced, and it couldn't get done in time to brighten up downtown. I think it was a tragedy that we didn't put on a better show for everybody coming. We learned a lot from that lesson.
Businesses are being hurt. It's, you know, I was wondering, like, who, you know, anyway, so is that something that would change if you became mayor?
It absolutely will. I have a program in place to go ahead and bring all the stakeholders together to do a better job of building and developing downtown.
John Courage, he's the city council member for District 9. He is one of the 27 candidates running for mayor. And I want to thank you so much for coming into the studio and talking to us today. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.